All right, let me just confirm. Jed, are you back with us?
I am.
That's great. And Trish and Curtis, are you back with us?
We are.
All right, perfect. We are set and ready to roll. Thank you so much. To those of you who are joining us for our Media Bids Power Hour, an educational opportunity for those of you in media publication and ad sales, whether your circulation is free, paid, or controlled, you're in the right spot. Whether you're talking about ads in print, by newsletter, by website, on the digital side, you're also in the right spot. We're here to share with you tools and resources and information that will help you from a media ad sales perspective. In addition, we have some wonderful guests today related to the topic that we're going to be covering. We'll introduce them in just a couple of minutes. As you're getting settled in, we're always going to encourage you, find a quiet spot, close your office door, simply do whatever it takes to remove a lot of the distractions. The more notes you make, the more notes you take during the course of this educational teleseminar, the more you'll be able to take these strategies, utilize them, and deploy them immediately. We simply call that the coach or coaching approach. All the very best in adult education and learning simply says that the more notes you make, the more impactful it'll be, which is exactly why we do not put something on a screen, which is simply create multitasking or many-tasking. As we're getting set for today, Jed and myself are delighted that you're here. And Jed, I always love some opening words as the CEO and founder of MediaBids. How about some opening words about what's cooking in your world? I'll do a quick little capsule about Power Hour, and then I'll formally introduce both Trish and Curtis, okay?
Okay, sounds good. Thanks for everyone for joining us. We're excited to have Trish and Curtis with us here today. As I've mentioned in other calls, you know, what MediaBids really is about is driving revenue to print publications. We are an ally of print publications and continue to do everything we can to assist in generating revenue through print ads. One of the reasons why we thought it would be so interesting to have Physicians Mutual representatives from Physicians Mutual on the call with us here today is that, you know, they have for a long time now been really one of the top advertisers that we've ever worked with in terms of supporting print publications through a variety of different advertising initiatives, and so they like everyone on the call believe in the value of print, believe in what newspapers and magazines can produce in terms of response, and are big advocates through their actions. Here at MediaBids, we continue to work with publications to make sure that the revenue streams keep flowing, and we've had some good success in recent months. We saw a response across all print publications really pick up in August, and September looks like it's continuing that trend. So we're excited about the fourth quarter and finishing the year strong.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And Jed, it's always a pleasure to work together with you and your team at MediaBids. As all of you know, MediaBids places ads in tens of thousands of magazines, hundreds of thousands of ads purchased, millions and millions of inbound leads, prospects, and sales and revenue generated for the last 20 plus years. They know exactly what they're doing. For those of you that have worked with them, you know the wonderful partner they are and the wonderful advisory services they'll bring to you. And in reverse, for those of you that have not, please come into MediaBids.com and learn more about them. By way of brief introduction, my name is Ernest Orienti. My company is Power Hour. Began in the advertising sales space in 1986, launched three of my own publications, was a leader in a billion-dollar media group, and in 1995, we launched Power Hour. We've coached and guided more than 2,700 ad sales leaders and teams and executives in our space, in 14 time zones around the world. So it's been a wonderful 24 years. Whenever we settle into an educational teleseminar like this, we like to call out sort of three specific goals. Our first goal is to share new ideas, really to stretch and spur your thinking and the possibilities, and not only to stretch but also to sweat, meaning get out of your comfort zone. That's why you're here. Always be green and growing and never red and ripe. Our second goal, if there's something you hear during our teleseminar today that confirms what you're doing, it simply means what? It means that you're already doing and mirroring the best practices around the world in the media space. And then the third, the serendipitous. Literally, as you're listening today, other ideas may crop up related to or unrelated to what we're doing here, and we love those serendipitous ideas, so we sort of plan for that and expect that as well. Let me just share by formal introduction. Today is about Physicians Mutual Insurance, what defines their ad spend. Their company was founded in 1902 in Omaha, Nebraska. Physicians Mutual offers a wide variety of health and life insurance products, ranging from hospital and medical insurance policies to Medicare supplement, from dental insurance to annuities to whole and term life insurance. Joining us today is Trish Hooker. We're delighted, Trish, that you're here. Curtis Krogman, thank you, Curtis, for joining us. They're both with the Physicians Mutual Direct Marketing Group. And in their roles, Trish and Curtis are responsible for marketing their products across a wide range of media options. So in our teleseminar today, we're going to talk about making marketing decisions, and you're going to get an opportunity to kind of listen to what happens on the other side of the table. This is a very unique opportunity, a very unique experience. Trish and Curtis, thank you so much for joining us. We're glad you're here.
Thank you for having us,
thank
Ernest
you.
And Jed. We appreciate the opportunity to come on and speak with everybody.
Well, we are so pleased that you're here, and we can't wait to sort of listen behind the curtain. So let's dive right in, and let's talk about our first question that we promised to address. And tell us a little bit about who the customers are of Physicians Mutual, and then tell us about a little bit about the steps you take sort of to define your audience from a marketing perspective. Let's start there, if we could.
Yeah, great. That's a great place to start. So we at Physicians Mutual very carefully try to understand who our customers are, what their traits are, what their interests are, and primarily how our products can help them. Actually, if you don't mind, I'd like to kind of take us back a few years. Our company actually started out offering insurance to physicians and their families, which is where Physicians Mutual came from. In the 60s, we transitioned and started offering coverage to really the general consumer, not just the medical field itself. And so then from there, we've just kind of grown, and almost all of our business now is on the consumer side, not on the medical side. So what we take a lot of steps to actually understand who our consumers are, and fortunately, we've had a lot of history and a lot of time to really kind of fine-tune that and whittle it down. A lot of the products that we offer are really geared toward retirees, folks who are entering the post-working session of their lives, and I think today a lot of our comments and responses and experiences will kind of surround our dental coverage. Our dental coverage has kind of a unique story behind it. It actually started in 2003 as a result of our customers calling and asking if we could help them with their dental care. And so from there, we developed a product, and it's grown ever since, and it's just kind of taken off. And it's something that our customers find very valuable, and they struggle to find elsewhere that when they're retiring from their jobs. So we do a lot of things to understand who those customers are. First and foremost is listening to our customers. We make a point to gather their feedback, hear what they're saying, what they're interested in, what they're looking for, how we can help them. And then we also use some technology to kind of add on to that. When we do have a customer or a prospect who's interested in our dental plan, we take some steps to be able to model the data of larger groups. So we might be able to tell, you know, that our dental customers are also people who read newspapers or subscribe to magazines or enjoy gardening or, you know, visit the dentist regularly, things like that. So it's important for us to really not only know who our customers are through modeling, but to listen to them so that they can tell us exactly who they are, what they're looking for, and how we can help them.
Mm-hmm.
Trish, do you see connections among customers like that are sort of outside of just things like age and demographics? Like, for example, do people who want dental insurance, are they more likely to be gardeners, for example? You know, are there connections like that you wouldn't think exist?
Yeah, absolutely. Things like that, yes, absolutely, they are more likely to be gardeners. They're more likely to be folks who are willing to get information and to subscribe to either products or services through the mail. There's a lot of different characteristics that actually define the customers, but we do see some of those trends that maybe aren't things you would commonly think about. They are folks who are likely to, be TV watchers for a certain portion of the day, or things like that. Just things you wouldn't normally think of. We do a lot of work to try to understand not just their demographics, but some of their hobbies and other things they may be interested in.
Yeah, it's interesting. You wouldn't normally think that there'd be that kind of connection, but makes sense.
And Curtis, anything else to add from your perspective?
Just to add on that, I think, there's definitely connections there. I mean, in today's day and age of data and analytics, I think response models are a big part of, what we do. So being able to identify those key traits, where we determine them to be our customer and buyers of our product, we're definitely always looking for that, trying to pinpoint, where we think, it could give us a competitive advantage.
Sure, gotcha. Okay, so let's weave in then. That kind of builds into point number two, and talking about, so when an audience is identified from marketing, how is that decision made where to allocate their marketing, your marketing ad spend strategically? How do you think about that?
That's a great question, Ernest. So, once we kind of identify either a trait or an audience or a group, the next thing we do is try to figure out how do we reach them? What's the best way to get to that audience, that group of consumers, that segment of people interested? And then we do kind of some research from there and say, okay, these might be seven different ways that we can reach this audience. We do a lot of testing here at Physicians Mutual with our marketing dollars and our ad spend, and we really let the consumer tell us through the response to that testing what method they prefer to take. So, for example, it might be newspaper, it might be magazine, it might be a web banner ad or something to that effect. We're going to put the feelers out there of how we think we can reach this audience, and then whichever is most responsive is really where then we would turn our focus. We kind of try to optimize the testing that we initially do. We get that level. We look at the return on our investment, and not only the return on our investment, but the level of engagement and happiness of those consumers that have come in or the responders that have come in from there. And then we take that that segment and really focus our marketing spend there, but we continue to do testing in other media as well. So we're always trying to optimize. We're always testing different media, but perhaps even different publications, different avenues of the same media group to really kind of reach our customers and figure out how they like to respond and which way works best for them.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. And
I think a lot of different touch points, and we really want to try to give all of our prospects and our customers opportunities to learn more about our products in whatever way they're comfortable. There's a lot of different ways to do that, and it may not just be looking at one particular channel as being the most profitable. We're not just necessarily going to say, okay, we're going to go that channel. We want to touch all the different touch points. And not every lead is the same. I mean, there might be another channel that's a little bit more expensive, but it may be a higher quality lead, and it may be the type of channel that that there are people that are more comfortable responding to. But we definitely want to get the low-hanging fruit if we can, but we kind of want to have a full marketing spectrum if we can.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So one of the things that I just wanted to mention, Ernest, I mean, one of the things that I think you sort of alluded to is that it sounds like you have a very good idea of exactly where your customers are coming from, right? I mean, one of the things that I often say on pretty much every call, I find a way to work it in, is just how important tracking is and how important it is in advertising to know sort of definitively how an ad is performing. Maybe you could just talk for a minute about you know, in the context of understanding the different mediums and understanding, you know, all the different ways that someone can get to you, how you differentiate sort of how they're getting to you.
That's a great question, Jed. So internally, we have a very robust tracking system and coding system so that regardless of how a lead or a responder comes into us, we can tie it back to the initial marketing dollar spent. So, you know, one marketing piece, as everybody knows, can have several different ways for a person to contact us. They could call, they could go online, they could send a lead card back, they could, you know, do a number of different things to come into us. Well, if somebody calls and wants more information, we want to be able to tie that back to that ad piece that triggered that phone call. But if somebody goes online and requests information or applies for coverage, we also want to tie that back. So we make sure that we have a very robust internal coding and tracking system so that no matter how the person responds, because like we mentioned, we want them to respond in the manner that they're most comfortable, but no matter how they choose to respond, we can tie that response back to the initial marketing dollars that were spent. And that coding not only comes in with their initial response, but say somebody calls in today and they're interested in finding out more about our dental coverage, for example, and you know they talk to a representative and they want to kind of think over their options and digest what they learned. Though our product's very simple, you know, folks like to kind of take a minute to say, is this the best thing for me? And we encourage them to do that. But let's say then they call back in 2 weeks later and now they're ready to apply for coverage. On that second phone call, once again, we still want to be able to tie that back to that original marketing dollar that was spent. And so we do some very, initially some very robust tracking, but then also down funnel tracking to make sure that no matter how they come in or how far past the original inquiry they are, that we can still tie it back to the original trigger of that response of the spend of that marketing money.
And I can attest to that, having been fairly new to Physicians Mutual. I think having a robust tracking system is an understatement, but that's good. I think the way we look at it is the more data and more information that we have, the better decisions that we're going to be able to make from a marketing perspective.
And let me just insert for the benefit of those of you who are joining us, and of course will be listening to this long after we wrap up this teleseminar. The bottom line is you're listening to Curtis and Trish talk about their tracking, their methodologies, their follow-through. You need to ask that question of every single advertiser. And frankly, Jed, as you know, it's never changed in my 3 decades working in this space. If I don't know how an advertiser or an ad agency or a decision maker or an ad buyer, whomever it is, a marketing team, if I don't know how they're tracking, I could easily – it's a setup for failure. I don't know what their expectations are. I don't know. I have no idea what their inbound calls or emails or leads are. I have no idea what the conversions are. I'm literally flying blind. In fact, I don't even know. For example, Jed, I often use the example of a company that sells RVs, right? Do they care if they're selling new versus used? You know, how often will that person come back? How many times will they come back? How many RVs will they drive? You know, what's the most profitable part of the biz? Is it the actual new versus the used RV, or is it all the trailer hitches they sell? I don't know until I ask. clearly. And that's always our passion and focus for all of you that come to our teleseminars and the work and coaching that we do in the media spaces. Ask the questions, be knowledgeable. A, show that you care. B, be caring and be knowledgeable. And C, be a cut above anybody else that's just literally coming in for a sale transaction. That's not how we work. This is about relationships, understanding their biz, and understanding how it all works together. Okay?
Right. So, I mean, just to quickly add to it,
yeah,
just
Jed,
so that in case there's no confusion, the the way that we track Physicians Mutual ads is essentially two ways. We have unique phone numbers. So any of you who may be on the call who are current MediaBid users who may be running a Physicians Mutual ad, you have, and you probably know this, but you have a unique phone number in your ad that's unique only to your publication. And so what that does is it allows Physicians Mutual and MediaBids and you to see exactly the response that's being generated from the ad that you're running. And the second way that Physicians Mutual ads are tracked through MediaBids is through a unique URL form in which, so we can tell exactly when the form is being filled out, exactly which publication has generated that response, I should say. All of this really serves to educate MediaBids and Physicians Mutual and hopefully you as a publisher about how the ad is performing, what kind of response you're getting. You can get really granular and say, when is the response happening? What sort of parts of your readership is the response coming from? But what we're doing for Physicians Mutual and other advertisers is not that difficult to replicate, right? I mean, using unique 800 numbers is relatively easy technology, and it's a pretty simple thing, but it's a great way to really get to the heart of the matter and to understand how ads are performing. I think Physicians Mutual takes it to a much deeper level with how they're sort of tracking customers and all of their touch points with those customers. But on a basic level, just the phone number is a great place to start. If you have advertisers that don't know how an ad is producing, that's certainly the first step and an easy step to take. So.
A critical step, too, I might add.
Yeah, can I add
right.
one more thing
right.
about that?
Yeah, Trish, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to add one more thing to that. That absolutely, I agree with you, Jed. It doesn't have to be difficult to do it. If you can assign a unique value or phone number or URL to your campaign, you're going to be much better off. We actually tie our internal coding to that uniquely as well. So like I said, if somebody had called in and maybe they requested an information packet to be sent out, and then later on they send an application back from that information packet, we make sure that the tracking on that information packet ties back to that phone number that they called in on, which ties back to that original ad. So you're right, we do take it one step further, but it doesn't have to be that complicated. You really can keep it really simple and, just start with the basics of having unique values identified to that campaign or that ad.
Yeah, and we kind of look at we kind of look at it from a two-tier, kind of a two-tier marketing process. So like what you're talking about, Jed, is more what we call lead acquisition, where we're pushing those leads to either call for more information or to a website to request additional information. And then kind of the second part of that is once we have that lead in-house and we have that information, then we have the sales on the back end. So, like, they can, once they decide that they want to enroll or submit an application, they can enroll over the phone, over the web, or most really important part of our process is our information kit that we send out so that they can kind of learn more about the product and the privacy of their home. So we get a lot of that's really what drives our sales is that back end process. There's a lot that goes on after we get the lead in-house.
Right.
And Jed, a follow-up question to that or comment on that?
Sure. I just wanted to ask, just for effect, I think, more than anything, is there any, out of the budget of Physicians Mutual for marketing is larger than certainly than the average local business or regional business. Is any of your advertising done without tracking, or do you track all the advertising that you do? All the marketing that you do?
That's a great question, Jed. We're fortunate that, yes, we do have the budget to be able to track absolutely all of the marketing that we do. And we go through a process of attribution as well, where we try to attribute the marketing funds or the responses back to the original marketing funds as well. So we not only look at the current campaign that they responded from, we also take a look at what are all the touch points where we've actually interacted with this person over a set period of time? Let's say, for example, over the last 6 to 9 months. Have we sent them an email? Have we also received a phone call from them from our newspaper ad? Have they seen our mail package and called or gone online to ask questions about that? Have they been on our website where they were researching information or looking for something similar? So we don't just look at this campaign. We look at what all of our touch points are with this person over a set period of time to say, how are they interacting with us, and how are our marketing ads interacting with them, and what's triggering responses.
Right, and I think that's just an important point for everyone on the call to hear and sort of absorb, and that is that, you know, Physicians Mutual is tracking everything, right? They're tracking, you know, the initial contact, and they're tracking the subsequent contacts. And so, you know, for you thinking about, you know, local or regional businesses that you're working with, that's, you know, if they can do it at such a sophisticated level, right? More of your clients and you can be the promoter of this can do it on a higher level, but still, you know, you can see how important a piece tracking is in their marketing decisions.
Yeah, and if I can just insert, Jed, let's go back to the days when you only had what, a newspaper, an ad in the Yellow Pages, maybe a referral or a drive-by or a walk-in. There weren't many, you know, mediums, right? Life was simpler. Today, there's an infinite number, which is why companies and marketing teams have to be so much smarter about it, because they have an infinite way to market and spend, but they could spend a whole lot of time wasting money, time, and resources, right? I think there was always that saying, I know that half my marketing budget is working and half is not. I just don't know which half is. I think there was some corny phrase about that once, but the point is,
right,
it wasn't tracked at all with the science of today. I just want to address Jan in Kansas asking about the tracking of ads. Yes, we're going to have more to share about that. And ad leakage and attribution, stay tuned. We're going to do a little more on that. And then also Jenny asked about, I'm always interested in ways to help our clients track the return on their investment in advertising with us. So, Jed, that might be a nice way to segue into the third part. Curtis and Trish, let's talk about, you know, the first part of it is about how our ad response is tracked. And we've been doing some work around that. We'd love if there's more you'd like to share. Part two of that, though, is talking about, you know, cost per result, lifetime value, LTV, ROI, and we'd love to hear some of your insight about how you measure and how you think about those. That would help us from a media selling perspective, what we should be thinking about on the other side of the table.
Yeah, those are great questions and things that we definitely consider here at Physicians Mutual. So it's not just how many people responded to the specific ad, you know, what products did they purchase, how long did they stay with us, you know, even when you're in the insurance world, how many claims did they file, how much did they use their coverage, did they get the value out of it that we hoped that they did? And so we look at several things, not just the cost per result, but the profit per result, and then also we look at the customer lifetime value. So is this person purchasing a dental product today? If they are, would they also be interested in our Medicare supplement plan? Is the life insurance coverage something that they may be interested later on? What's the likelihood of this specific dental customer in purchasing one of those other products? Because if they are more likely to purchase another product, that frees up marketing dollars to keep spending on this campaign, even if the initial response isn't higher than maybe some other campaigns where the lifetime value isn't as high on a customer. Or we also look at it not just from a profit standpoint, from a customer standpoint as well. If this ad or this medium is driving, let's say a dental customer, but for some reason they're only staying with the coverage for 6, 9, 12 months, you know, they're really not getting the best value out of this coverage perhaps. And so maybe we need to change the ad to present the coverage a little bit differently, or maybe we need to offer another avenue of response or generate some additional questions for this consumer so that we make sure they're getting them the product that they're looking for and they're getting the most value out of that product as well. The more value they get out of the product, the happier they're going to be as a consumer, and then they're going to trust us to come back to us when their needs in the insurance world change as they age and as they grow and as they, you know, start families and do things like that. So we look at definitely the cost, we look at the profit, but we also look at that lifetime value, which also means the value that the consumer is getting out of the coverage as well.
Curtis, more to add to that?
It kind of goes back to, you know, what I mentioned earlier just about the quality of the lead. I mean, sometimes certain leads just are better long-term customers than others, maybe based on their lifetime value. But that's where we rely on a lot of other teams, like our product teams here at Physicians Mutual, to kind of help track a lot of that data, like lifetime value, persistency, how long are they staying on the books, our claims experience, all that stuff goes into determining, whether or not a particular media or line of business is profitable. So there's just a lot of moving parts there that we take into consideration beyond just the marketing aspect of it, I guess.
I think, too, if I could add one more thing, you know, this didn't happen at Physicians Mutual overnight. As you mentioned, Ernest, we've been in business since 1902, and we've been learning about our customers ever since. And so we are fortunate to have a lot of history with our consumers, with the insurance industry, with different ad mediums overall. When you have that much history, it's a blessing, but in other ways, like, you can get complacent with what you're doing. What we always try to do is ask, what else should we be looking at? So, for example, you know, like Curtis said, we rely on others to help us with this. Perhaps our product team might say, hey, you know, these folks are likely to also purchase vision insurance. Is that something that we could offer to help our customers out? So I think part of it is doing the tracking, looking at lots of different things, considering more out of this consumer or responder than just the initial response you get. And then from there, how else can you help them? How else can you add value? How else can you make that initial campaign more successful?
Mm-hmm. And then, Jed, from your perspective, having worked with so many advertisers and looked at their model, what is your take on the cost per result, lifetime value, ROI? What is your filter on that?
I'll take this opportunity to be a little bit of a cheerleader for print here, but because, you know, I don't know if this is something that Trish and Curtis can speak to, but, you know, I mean, one of the advantages of print is that it oftentimes, and we find with our clients, it's, you know, it's almost across the board. You know, the lifetime value of a print customer tends to be greater than a customer who's coming from other medium. You know, the close rate tends to be higher because when print customers are making a response, when they're picking up the phone, for example, they're doing it in a much more considered way. It's not a, you know, a TV commercial, for example, is a great way to reach people, but it's also, you know, it's also much more of a intrusive medium. It's much more reactionary, as opposed to print, where people are sort of taking their time and making a call when they, you know, when it's best for them. So a lot of times, you know, we hear from our clients that, you know, that the huge advantage that print has is the quality of the respondents. You know, and I would be surprised if it was any different on a local or regional level. I think that it's just the nature of the medium that the types of people who are responding tend to be more, you know, tend to be making a more considered response. You know, the stats on print readers also are that they're, among all mediums, the most likely to own a home, the most likely to have some savings. So there's a lot of good stories to tell about the types of people who are responding to print and the types of people who are reading newspapers and magazines. You know, the thing that print that has trouble competing with is just overall volume, right? Because it's not, you know, the kind of thing where someone can put an ad in front of, you know, in front of tens of millions of people instantaneously the way you can in some other mediums. You know, that can also be a blessing, though, because it can mean that the responses you're getting are, you know, do tend to be of higher quality. So, you know, we hear that from other clients. Trish can hopefully back me up on that.
Absolutely, Jed. And not just the quality of the lead, which you touched on. You're absolutely right. These are a more considered consumer. They are taking the time to kind of read through something, look at it in front of them. Generally, they like to have something in hand, something tangible to hold on to look at, to refer back to. And you're right, they're a more considered consumer. Those stats that you said are absolutely right. They are more likely to own a home. They're more likely to have some savings. They're more likely to respond to things by mail, these kind of things. The other thing I'd like to say about print media, and part of the reason that we continue going this route, even though so many folks are going online, but the consistency of the response is just really up there for us. So, you know, it takes a little bit longer for that response to come in, but we know that response is going to come in, and we can probably predict within a few responders how many are going to come in because it is so consistent and it performs highly on a consistent basis.
The consistency is shocking. I mean, it's like, you know, so one of the things just to tell people on the call, you know, we have some publications, for example, that have been running Physicians Mutual ad for, you know, years, and they've been running, you know, more or less the same size, and we've had some creative changes through the years. And you know, Physicians is good about sort of experimenting with different sort of creative variations, but these publications will receive, you know, the same number of phone calls, you know, 15, let's say, you know, 15 phone calls a week, for example. They'll get the same number of phone calls week in and week out regardless of seemingly anything. And it's really a testament to sort of the consistency and sort of just the you know, the how people read the publications, that you know, every single week you can almost set your watch by it. You know, a good week might be, you know, 20 responses, and a bad week might be 10, but it rarely goes outside of that that sort of response framework, that sort of, you know. And so it is incredibly consistent, and you wouldn't think it would be, right? Because the same, you know, it's a finite group that's seeing the ad, and you'd think that, you know, after a certain amount of time, you know, all the people who wanted dental insurance would have seen that ad, right? But it doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I think a lot of the people that go out and read the newspaper and magazine, I think they're very traditional, and I think they actually set aside time to do it. You know, there's so many things now today where you have distractions coming at you left and right, you know, with smart technology and the web and everything else. But I think there's still a select group of people out there that they're getting these papers and magazines for a reason, because they want to sit down and they want to look at them, and they set aside time to do that. People still like to do that. It's almost a time for them to
shut out
the noise. Quiet time.
Shut out the noise.
And just get away from this busy, hectic, crazy world that we live in. So I think that's kind of what helps drive some of that too.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. All right. Let's shift gears again. The fourth point, the fourth question that we really would love to hear about is, so tell us, what print and or digital mediums and ads perform the best? Tell us a little bit about that. And then, is there a difference in the performance of ad mediums based on the type of insurance being sold? Can we go down that path?
Absolutely. Those are great questions. So one of the things that we have found that works really well in our ads is we really are not forcing anyone to buy anything today. We want to give them the opportunity to learn about the product. So our main offer in our ads really gives folks the chance to call in to request an information kit about whatever product they're interested in. Let's use dental, for example, because that's our main focus. That's why we keep talking about it today. But, you know, we're not shoving insurance down their throat. Insurance can be confusing. There's some verbiage that maybe isn't commonly understood by the general public. And so we also want folks to make a decision that's right for them. So rather than shoving an insurance sale or an insurance purchase down their throat, we're really trying to give them the opportunity to learn more. We pride ourselves in making our products and our information very simple and easy to understand. And so we find that in our ads, when we're offering folks the opportunity to learn more, to request a free information kit, to, you know, just call and ask questions, we get a lot better response across all mediums. When it comes to the actual creative part of the ad, you know, we find different things work at different times in different medias. But what we try to do is make it very clear that folks are responding or replying for information about whatever product they're inquiring about. We want it to be very obvious that they're calling us to ask about dental insurance, not necessarily, you know, something else. We want it to be very obvious that when they call this number, they're going to be talking to us about life insurance, not about, you know, a surprise something else. So we find that very simple and upfront ads perform the best. We also try to simplify the message on there. So we want to give folks enough information to really kind of give them an idea for what they're calling or responding or going online to find out more information about, but not overwhelm the ad with so much copy that, you know, there's really, it's too confusing, it's too overwhelming, or it's too much kind of right in your face. So the types of ads that we use do vary by product. Different things work well in different products for sure. But for dental insurance, we try to make it very obvious that they're calling for dental insurance, and that, you know, they don't have to sign up today to just ask some questions, get a price quote, request an information kit, and go from there.
And I think
Go ahead, Curtis.
When we talk about the difference in the performance of different mediums based on the type of insurance, I think a lot of it has to do with, I think Trish touched on some of this, but just the simplicity of the product itself. You know, like dental insurance, for example, is pretty straightforward, pretty easy to understand. So like a print medium, I think, you know, can be work well for that. But when you start talking about like Medicare supplement insurance, for example, it's a very complex product, and a lot of people may be more comfortable, say, speaking directly with, like, a licensed agent about something like that.
Absolutely.
And you have licensed agents around the country?
We do. We have a number of different local offices, and anyone can always call and speak to our home office call center here in Omaha, Nebraska, but we do have several field offices around the country as well.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
So just a quick follow-up question to what Trish and Curtis were asking. Do you find that when you in terms of your sales approach, do you have can you make a guess as to whether or not your sales approach impacts response? So do you feel like when by putting in your ads that you know to call for a free information kit, do you feel like that increases response, or do you feel like that's not something that consumers really understand until after they call?
That's a great question, Jed. We wouldn't have to guess on this because, you know, we're a numbers company and we follow the numbers. We absolutely have learned through testing that when we put on one of our ads that somebody can call or respond, go online or email for a free information kit, they're much more likely to respond than when we're telling them, call to sign up today, call to complete your application, because I think a lot of folks just aren't ready with that first touch point when they're first seeing our ad, or even sometimes the second or third time they've seen our ad, they're not ready. So with what we've learned and what we've found so far is when we offer that free information kit, we're very likely to get a response right away, not necessarily a sale right away. We're very likely to get a response right away where they are requesting more information, where they're asking questions, where they're going online and researching. And then what we find is on the downward part of the funnel, we're more likely to get applications once they've got that information that they're looking for later on. And that kind of ties back to what we were talking about initially. We make sure that we're tracking that down funnel response all the way back to that initial view or that initial touch point with the customer so that we know, yes, we may have sent thousands of information packets out, but this one that came back from Joe Smith, for example, that actually ties to that ad that ran in a publication that we did through MediaBids or through, you know, any publication that we're doing.
So, Jed, any comments on that before we talk about ad leakage and attribution? All right. So let's move if we could then to the very last point. And we had a number of questions about this. And I remember when we were preparing Curtis and Trish for this, saying, you know, gee, I'd love to hear a little bit about, you know, ad leakage. And you're like, well, what is ad leakage? And I began to explain. You're like, oh, no, we call that attribution. So we have a lot of questions about this. And so let's talk a little bit about that, right? That's kind of the challenge of how do you pin everything to every media source and not miss a beat, right?
Yeah, you know, that can be very challenging, ad leakage or attribution. Where does the credit really go? And how do we attribute the credit back there so that when we're looking at our marketing dollars and deciding where to use those dollars and where to allocate more funds and or where to pull back or what to do, we're appropriately looking at the responses that we've received. You know, we use several different systems internally to, like I said, not only track the initial response, the initial ad that generated the response, but we take a look through our marketing efforts and through our tracking system at what other touch points we've had with folks in the meantime or recently to see, yes, maybe this person actually did see us on TV, but a week ago we sent them we were in a newspaper ad in their hometown wherever they're living. Which really deserves the credit. And sometimes that can be difficult to figure out where the credit should really go, but we try to attribute the credit back to whatever probably the driver of that response was. It's challenging because there's no way to make everything 100% correct, but we try to give credit where credit is due so that we can make the best use of our marketing dollars and the most profitable use of our marketing dollars and go from there. So again, we have a couple of internal systems that we use. This goes back to the tracking that we talked about at the beginning. We're not just tracking how they responded. We're tracking any other campaigns that may have touched them in the meantime to really figure out maybe it collectively was a whole group of marketing efforts that really kind of drove that response. Well, then potentially we need to give some credit back to all of those marketing efforts instead of just attributing everything to this one.
Do you,
and Curtis,
Ernest, quick question.
Yeah.
Do you have any sense of how many different marketing channels the average customer sees before responding?
Yeah, the old adage is somebody's got to see our ad or hear about us about 7 times in order to actually respond. It's anywhere from 7 to 10 times before the initial response. But what we find is once they initially respond, then we get more response from them after that. So anywhere from 7 to 10 touch points before somebody actually picks up the phone or goes online or sends an inquiry into us is pretty accurate.
Wow.
Yeah, and just again to clarify for those of you as you're listening, you know, if you think about sort of the way a lead comes in, you know, for example, Jed, if I see an ad and it's for, you know, a chiropractor, right? I could stop in the chiropractor, I could pick up the phone, I could go to the website, I could send an email, I could fill out a form, I could request a report. You know, there's all these little paths, but where did that ad, you know, where did that lead come from and what ad did it tie to, right? And then you start to think about, you know, time and aging, right? Simply, what if I picked up the ad and stopped by or sent an email and I disappear for 3 months? You know, where do we go back in the system all the way back to that original source and sourcing? Sometimes we even bump into where, maybe my wife stopped into the chiropractor. I saw the ad and said, here, I tore out the ad, and, you know, could you stop by and maybe get me an appointment? She goes in under her name, but then I come in, you know, a week later. Right? I mean, it is just right. A very interesting piece. And what we've always found this challenge related to ad tracking and ad leakage. And I know we really tie it down in so many ways. It's gotten so much better. But there's still, you know, little bumps in that process. And it's important for those of you in media ad sales to understand, you have to understand what your tracking paths are. You have to truly understand what your advertisers are doing on the other side. And then you have to be aware of this leakage component. Sometimes it's time and timing. Sometimes it's different names. Sometimes it's different paths that a potential lead would come in. And then knowing where those gaps are from that perspective. Let's see, Curtis. Any perspective on that from your side?
I think you guys all nailed it.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I think it's probably again based on my limited experience here, but it's probably one of the biggest challenges that we face here. Just trying to understand attribution and leakage a little bit better and how to attribute it back. Mm-hmm. So. That's something that we're definitely working on, and I think we'll get there. But this things change so quickly too. In today's digital web world, you know, we just got to stay on top of things.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, it is an interesting piece. For example, I'll see something that, you know, oh, it's 2-for-1 at Grappa's restaurant, and I'll throw something, you know, next to my wallet, and it sits there. And then my wife and I are out on a Friday night, and I'll say, hey, why don't we stop by Grappa? Guess what? I don't have the coupon. It clearly was the ad that dropped there. All my wife wants to know is we're going to Grappa. And I'm going, yeah, but I had my 2-for-1. What happened to Grappa? and we laugh about that conversation. But the bottom line is, you know, just kind of coming around the bend and wrapping up our teleseminar, you know, for each of you and all of you to listen to, I mean, what Trish and Curtis have shared is amazing. This is a really special, rare, and unique a review of what's happening on the other side of the table. What's going on in their minds, and how are they seeing you, and what is the filter from that perspective? You're listening to Jed talk about it sort of in the middle, on one side, you know, buying ads, and on the other side, right, you know, understanding what the results are. And it's all talking about media selling, sales success, and the spirit of it's a relationship. The most important part you should take away from is don't just get lost in all the widgets and all the details. There are plenty of those. But just sort of lean in and really embrace, you know, that in order to really do good in what we do here, you've got to be passionate. You've got to be listening. You've got to be actively learning, always green and growing. And that's really the spirit in that. Trish, Curtis, how about some closing words from you, and then we'll have Jed wrap things up here.
Yeah, well, again, we appreciate being able to come on and just chat with everyone today. When we're talking about our ad spend, we watch very closely our marketing dollars and where we want to optimize our spend and make it perform as well as it can.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said before, print has been so consistent for us. The response is a little bit slower than other mediums, but we know it's going to come in without a doubt. And so, you know, as the world continues to evolve toward digital avenues, you know, print is still a consistent stream and one of our strongest that we will continue to
mm-hmm.
pursue as long as that holds on. So,
mm-hmm.
what
mm-hmm.
the print world
gotcha.
Is important still, even in a digital world that's growing more and more digital by day.
I'll just add real quick. You know, I think we all love marketing and we're all focused on marketing during this teleseminar, but. You know, I like to look at things from a different perspective, and at the end of the day, too, as a company, Physicians Mutual really focuses on, you know, the customer and the policyholder experience, and we want them to have a great, we want to have a great relationship with them. We want them to have a great experience from start to finish, and, you know, I just think that sometimes gets lost in it, but at the end of the day, I think that's important. I mean, we all want to make money, right? But we're not going to do it at the expense of our customers.
You bet. It, you're right. It takes a village, and that is the conversation that we're having here. And Jed, you are a vital link in that village. So how about some closing words as we wrap up here before the top of the hour?
Sure. Well, I want to thank Trish and Curtis for sharing some of their knowledge with us. It's always interesting to hear from a company like them, you know, from a company like Physicians Mutual, what they're seeing and what they're doing. I mean, a couple things that I think are really applicable to any advertiser that a newspaper or magazine is talking to. You know, you can see how critical the offer in the ad is, how the approach, just something as simple as sending out a free media kit can make a difference in response, right? And so, you know, think about that the next time you're talking to a client and they're using, you know, a more hard sell approach and maybe not being as successful with it. You know, something as simple as just offering more information rather than trying to get someone to buy on the first contact can make a big difference, not just in terms of your selling, but also just in terms of a response. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You bet. And that really is the key piece. And so thank you again, Trish and Curtis, for joining us. For those of you who are listening to the two of them, certainly Physicians Mutual Insurance Company is there as a resource if you'd like to learn more about them. Certainly MediaBids, you of course know Jed and their group there. For those of you who have not worked with them, encourage you to do so. Come into our Power Hour website. We're always here for you for going into our 25th year. So thank you so much, everyone who's joined us live, and for those of you that will be listening to this long after we wrap up our teleseminar. Thank you, everybody, and make it a great day. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you.